Hey, good looking. Welcome to Bonus Land here at the Bitter End Podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. Tom, are you the mayor of Bonus Land?
Self-appointed. I don't know. Maybe that means I'm the dictator of Bonus Land.
You put the dick in the dictator.
Yeah, exactly.
And the boner in bonus.
Anyway, what we're trying to say is that this is another bonus episode. This is not the beginning of the new season. It's just a little something-something just to keep you going.
Yeah, guys, because eagle-eared listeners among you may remember a bonus episode that we did a little while back where we got to go and be guests on the excellent podcast Flicks Watcher, run by our friends Kobe and Helen.
And we shared the episode that we did with those guys. So Flicks Watcher's deal is they're just digging deep into that quagmire of film that is Netflix.
Yeah, and see what treasures can be unearthed. And they were kind enough to invite me and Tom on, and I got to choose the film, which was From Beyond. You should absolutely watch that film and absolutely go back and check out that episode, and definitely subscribe to Flicks Watcher as well while you're at it. But Tom also got to pick a film.
Boy, did I. So what you're about to hear is not really a new episode of The Bitter End. It's the episode that we appeared on the Flicks Watcher podcast, where we talk about the film I picked, Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling epic, Over the Top.
Tom, you are a very unique person.
Thanks.
Nobody else on earth would have chosen this film other than you, and that is why I love you, buddy.
Oh, well, I like that film. Okay, spoilers, if you don't want to listen to it, I like it.
And let's find out whether or not myself, Kobe, and Helen of Flicks Watcher were convinced of Tom's love of Over the Top. Will it push us over the top? Will it push us over the edge? Listen on now and you will hear the episode of Flicks Watcher. And we will be back very, very shortly with the start of season 6.
Police Academy, motherfuckers.
Booyah!
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 17 of the Flicks Watcher podcast.
We are joined today by Tom and Todd, the two T's from The Bitter End, and we are reviewing Over the Top.
And if you want to hear more about us or read more about us online, come to our website flickswatcher.tv, visit us and join in the banter with us on Twitter at flickswatcherpod, and head over to iTunes, subscribe to us, review us, and share with your friends. So guys, just as a big reminder, all films on the podcast were available on Netflix at the time of recording. There will be bad language. There will be spoilers. I hope you enjoy it. See you later.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of Flicks Watcher. And today we are joined by Todd and Tom. If you want to introduce yourselves and tell everyone where we can hear you.
Yeah, hi, I'm Tom Denny from The Bitter End Podcast.
And I am Todd Jordan, additionally from The Bitter End Podcast.
Our podcast is all about us dissecting movie franchises, watching all the good, all the bad, and all of the very ugly. You can find us on, what do they call it? iTunes. Yeah, that's the one.
And you can tweet us at Twitter. Wait, that doesn't work. You can tweet us on Twitter at Bitter End Pod, or drop us a line on Facebook at Bitter End Pod, where you can see us talking about a bunch of crummy movies and a couple of good ones.
That's how we do it.
What's been the favourite franchise? Has there been one?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of love for. I think there's something about picking like a franchise and like watching all of them that just somehow you come out the end of it like, I haven't had anywhere I'm like, I'm sick of the sight of this, I never want to see it again, where you actually kind of like develop quite a weird bit of like Stockholm syndrome for it perhaps, and you just like get a bit of a you get a bit attached to it, you get a bit sentimental. Friday the 13th we've done, which is a lot of fun.
Highlander took us to some dark places.
Highlander's bizarre.
Do you tend to watch them together when you
yes it's a bond, it's bonded us, I think, as friends.
It's a blood oath.
Yeah, I mean, watching Highlander 2 and then a few weeks later watching the director's cut of Highlander 2 is not something that I think a lot of people do as a social thing. But we did it, and I think we came out stronger at the other end. Yeah, it's been dark times, it's been some fun times.
So good to know we have each other's back for better or worse.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's beautiful. So we're here talking about Over the Top, which was...
Fuck yeah. Yeah, we are.
Whoa, stay there on there, Tommy.
I wonder who chose the film.
Yeah, I
so
chose this.
Why did you pick this film for us to watch and tell us what happens?
Why did I pick this? I don't know. There was so much stuff that I was going through on my list of like films I haven't watched yet on Netflix.
So hold on, was this the first time you've seen this?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it once before. I saw it when like I first like signed up to Netflix. Right. I was like, sweet, it's that Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling film that I'd heard about and never seen. And I don't know why when I was like faced with the prospect of watching all these other films I'd not seen, I was like, nah, I want to watch this again and I want to make some other people do it.
There's that row, isn't there, that says critically acclaimed films, and he just kind of went, nah, not that row.
What are you saying?
Let's delve deep now,
in there. It's not the best Stallone film, and I have a bit of a soft spot for Stallone. Like, I love...
I think you have to.
He's just great. I think he's my favourite of, like, the big 80s action guys, because I think he's got a lot more, like, chops, like, as an actor, as a writer, as a director, that I don't think he necessarily
It is actually quite surprising, the body of work that he does and what he gets in writing and producing all these different things, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger haven't been near as involved in the films they've been...
No, and I think, like, Bruce Willis, I think he's a bit more of a versatile actor, and I've got quite a lot of time for him. I love Arnie, but he can only do one thing, and that is be Arnie, and, like, you know, he's a big, bloated egomaniac. And so is Stallone.
Except occasionally he can be Judge Dredd as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So this thing, like, he's not a perfect filmmaker by any stretch of the imagination. But every, you know, like, there are moments there where I'm like, yeah, you know, Sly's really trying. And then you see the other films, like Rocky IV, where you're just kind of like, you are just, like, that's when you're really, he's deep in his ego at that point.
Just to slightly sidetrack it, have you seen Creed?
Oh, Creed's amazing.
And that was, yeah, that's when I thought Stallone is back on it again, because that was... I think that's the best performance I've seen him in.
Ever, actually. And that's one of those things that reminds you, like, oh, actually, this guy can be like legit when he can be awesome. Tries and like isn't like totally sort of like living up his own ass. So Over the Top was like around the time of like the Rockies and the Rambos, and he plays a truck driver called Lincoln Hawk, who is also a professional arm wrestler. And the beginning of the film, he goes to pick up his estranged son, Michael, I believe his name is, he's just graduated. I think he's maybe about, 13? Like, he's just on the edge of puberty, I think. And he's just graduated from military school. And he hasn't seen his dad, like, in ever.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, like, shows up, pulls up this big prestigious place in his massive
truck
and picks up his kind of, like... snooty son. Like, so he was like the son's mum came from money, and Lincoln was obviously like salt of the earth, like backbone of America kind of truck driving guy who was driven away from the family by Michael's evil wealthy granddad. And Stallone goes and picks up the son. It's like, we're going on a cross-country trip to go and see your mum, who's in hospital with vagueitis, not entirely sure
terminal vaguitis.
Yeah. So the best thing we can do when she's terminally vague is to drive across America, which doesn't take any time at all, does it? And on the way there are encounters with professional arm wrestlers. The granddad sends out like hired goons to kind of kidnap the grandchild back. During this time, Sly is bonding with Michael and they're learning things about each other. The mum dies. The kid Sly drives a truck through the granddad's mansion. The kid steals a car, drives it to the airport on his own and gets on a plane, goes to Vegas where there's like the big
arm wrestling competition.
There's a lot that goes on in this film, and it is complicated, it is messy, but I just like it because, like, so the beginning of the film is like, it's fucking sappy. It's like
sappy, or
sappy, man.
What do you mean by that?
It's like a Hallmark movie, you know, like the Hallmark channel. Like, it's
I just thought
it's peak sensitive Stallone. Like right. He does this thing very well of being he's an underdog. He's like this hangdog, just kind of he mumbles, and then he gets pushed too far. And when he gets pushed too far, we're in for some fun. But a lot of it, he's just, yeah, my God, I got something inside me. I want to give. I didn't got much, but I want to give what's I got inside me. I want to give it to you, Michael. And all this, like, there's a lot of emoting. This mumbly emoting.
It's very male bonding. The movie.
Yeah, it's so like for a Stallone film, it's kind of weird because a lot of it is about like a very masculine man bonding with his son, which isn't really kind of like, you know, people who went and watched like Rambo 2 would probably be like, what's with all like the feelings, guys? But then every now and then some arm wrestling comes in and fuck, it's loads of dudes with beards shouting in each other's faces.
Drinking gasoline, drinking petrol.
Yes.
I thought that, sorry to jump ahead, but there is a bit where a guy drinks petrol, right? Because I thought that I hadn't been... I was like, oh no, that can't be petrol. I must have missed a scene where he like explains that he puts beer in a petrol canister.
It might be oil. It might be car oil.
Oh, that's no, okay. Yeah.
The thing that worries me about that scene is that in an earlier or like there was a scene either directly before it or directly after it where that guy eats a lit cigar. Where like they're about to like they're about to arm wrestle. They've got their arms on the table, and he's got this cigar, and he just kind of like psychs the guy out by just going. Nom, nom,
nom. Well, that's an explosive accident way to happen.
Exactly.
If there's a single ember in there still.
Yeah. So like that's the kind of it's very mixed in terms of tone. This film, I will say that.
I want to. There's this weird kind of overtone of during the film where Stallone is kind of his character Lincoln Hawke is kind of seen as a loser. He turns up late to his estranged son's military academy, and at the beginning kind of montage is him like washing his truck,
yes,
and washing his face in the mirror of the truck, and then he turns up late, misses graduation, and as he's walking up the stairs to the academy, everyone's just turned around going, "Who is that guy? Who is what?" I mean, it looks like they're looking at him as if he's got like two heads or something. Everyone as soon as they see him, think of him as some kind of loser. And when you first see the guy that Stallone faces off with at the end, he's talked the big bald guy with
Bull,
the,
I think is Bull. The name of the character.
Bull comes along and Michael, his son's in the having the steak, and Stallone goes away to arm wrestle someone, and Bull comes over and says, "Who is that guy?" Michael goes, "It's my dad." And Bull goes, "Oh, poor guy." And it's like, What's Stallone actually done? Why does everyone hate him? Why does everyone think he's a massive loser? Yeah, what's going on in this?
I guess like the thing at the beginning is it's like a kind of like a class thing because he's very like
he's got
working
on.
Class, sort of like salt of the earth, Marlboro man. Like there's bits in this film which is just like a love letter to America where like a truck drives around in slow motion to like 80s soft rock over like these sweeping vistas.
Giorgio Moroder was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Very unusual score for Giorgio Moroder. Like not the music that I'm a big fan, and I saw that on the credits and I was like, cool, something I can latch onto in this movie. Dude did not deliver what I was expecting.
Yeah. There's a bit I really like in that, the first like truck stop where you get introduced to the arm wrestling.
Yeah. Do you want some steak? I know a good steak place.
Yeah. And he pulls over and like, yeah, Sly orders a steak. And then the son's kind of like, "I want the tuna salad with rye toast and some water with lemon in it." And the look on Stallone's face, he is absolutely devastated.
I have no son.
Yeah. He's kind of, I don't know why that tickled me. And like, you know, they bond, he teaches his son to arm wrestle. Yeah, I don't know why everyone hates him. So, like, why all the truckers and other arm wrestlers are just like, "I don't like him." And like the granddad hates him. Everyone hates him.
Yeah, he's got a baseball cap. He drives a truck. He eats nothing but steak. That's why they hate him.
He's got a little gym rig set up in his truck.
Yeah, so he can practice.
So he can practice. That's a bit dangerous. So he's got this.
Yeah.
And it's just on his right hand side, so he's not evenly balanced, and it's just showing his son how to build his arm strength up. But I really did enjoy it, but for all the wrong reasons. It was just silly. Maybe they hate him because of that one move that he does, the over the top move where he changes the hand position.
And I don't understand that either.
All of them, Is that cheating in the world of arm wrestling?
I have absolutely no idea. And the thing is, like, I just don't understand why, like, if it's that easy to win, like the arm wrestling thing by just moving two fingers, why does everyone not do it? I don't know.
They're not thinking men like Stallone. That's the thing. He's the thinking man's tough guy, I feel.
He's a thinking man's arm wrestler. Yeah. Helen, I want to hear what you've got to say about this. You've been quite quiet.
It's a film about arm wrestling.
Okay. And
that was why I was kind of like, okay, like, how do you make that cinematic? And
Did you
do it by making everything slow motion and having really, like, atonal music, like the final bit of arm wrestling. It's just like, and these just two guys just going at each other, and there's slow motion crowds behind them all screaming for blood. And it's just like, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, you've got to draw out an arm wrestling match. That doesn't really take that long. It's just moving your arm one way or the other. So they managed
goes,
to...
It goes
I mean,
left.
It's not Rocky, is it?
No. did anyone do any research? I meant to check out if there's such thing as a world arm wrestling competition.
I'm 100% sure there is, having done absolutely no research. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there definitely is.
I'm sure it doesn't last an hour and a half, though.
And I'm sure that they don't have thousands of screaming fans in the audience, of people of all walks of life jumping up and down in their chairs going, yeah, 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 I want to see what's happening next. This looks like it's going to be amazing.
And there's like divisions as well, because like Lincoln Hawk is like
in the trucker division.
The trucker division.
What is that for?
I don't know. I don't know why they get like they're like why this. I don't know. Is there like an office temp division? Why does one like vocation give you like a division in the arm wrestling?
Because you can win a truck.
Yeah, I know, which is very, like, handy for him. You can win a truck, so, like, you know.
Because what happens to his... He loses his truck because he crashes
he
it,
has
right?
to sell it.
Right.
Or something.
He has to sell it to get the entry fee, doesn't he?
No, yeah. He sells it so he can bet on himself.
Yeah.
But then he should have... If he hadn't have done that, he could have kept the truck and then he would have had a truck. Same ending both ways.
But then he also won the prize money.
Oh, there's
like,
prize
so
money
he,
and
he
a
put
truck.
That money on himself. So he was doubling down.
Plus
was,
prize money. And then there's that kind of stipend of his ex-father-in-law saying, you leave the son alone and I'll give you this massive, great, big, shiny truck.
But then he doesn't leave the son.
Yeah.
Does he get two trucks?
I don't know. It's not really clear.
I mean, it's not really a film to question.
I think it is. Because
yeah, come on, Tom. Let's drill down into it.
There's a few things I want to discuss here.
Okay.
Because there's a double... What was the phrase that was used throughout the whole competition at the end? It's a double... defeat competition.
Oh, I don't understand that at all. It's like a double elimination. Yeah, or something. You have to
lose twice
to be knocked out.
But that, it was only him that lost twice. It was only him that lost once. That went on. It was wholly contrived.
Unless
they just didn't show the other people because we're losing because we don't care about the guy that drinks gasoline.
It is a plot point that they bring up like
time
every
time,
5 minutes
again.
During that scene. They bring up, now we have to remind you that it's a double lose situation. And the arm wrestling bit at the end is weird, where it suddenly goes, like, has these, like, to-camera documentary-style bits of, like, all of the guys talking. It's all over
that.
The shop.
I loved that bit. There's all of these, like, vox pop-style, like, documentary bits of all the competitors talking about what it means to them to win. And there's, like, a kind of an army-looking guy who's like, it just means that I want to be the best! I just want to tell everybody that I want to be the best. And then there's like another guy who's got like a big crazy beard. He looks like he's been living in a cage. And it's just like, it's all about me crushing my fellow man.
Grizzly.
Yeah, the big grizzly dude. And then there's all of these like horrible, nasty pieces of work. These men that look like giant beach balls, basically. And then it gets to Stallone and he's got like his hat on and he's looking all meek. And he's like, I just want my truck. I just need that truck. I need it. And it moves on.
And he explains how he wins it, doesn't he? Says it's the baseball cap.
Oh
it's
yeah.
When it's around the front, then I just turn it around and I'm locked.
I become a maniac.
Yeah.
An arm wrestling maniac.
And then I cheat using my two finger switch.
Yeah, it's an oddity. It couldn't have been made at any other time, I don't think.
So it's quite interesting that none of you watched it, even though you're maybe kind of same age as a couple of years younger than myself. You didn't watch it when it first came out.
I hadn't watched it until like a few years ago.
When you first got Netflix.
Yeah.
Has it been on Netflix since the start?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that doesn't matter. But Because I watched it as a kid.
Okay, right.
It was one of those things where, Sly Stallone in the film, I'm going to watch it. And it was at the time of, like I said, Rocky, Karate Kid, that kind of underdog story. And I remember enjoying it because it was Sly Stallone. Everyone arm wrestled after it in the same way everyone boxed after watching Rocky, in the same way everyone was doing the crane kick after Karate Kid. And obviously watching it now, the film's rubbish. But I still enjoy. I enjoyed it. I don't know why I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it in spite of myself because there's so many things wrong with it. It's structurally stupid.
The
kid's annoying. The whole concept of an arm wrestling competition is ridiculous. Stallone is he's not phoning it in, but he's not in his best Stallone accent.
I don't think he's even there.
Would you know, he only agreed to do it because one of the producers convinced him that nobody would see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, nah, you should do it. Like, honestly, it will slip under the rug, this one. It will be fine. It's just a paycheck.
And but he was one of the biggest movie stars at the time. There's no way that anything he did was going to slip under the rug.
I still don't think it was that. I don't know if it made that much of a spot.
It was suggested, I've honestly never even heard of this film. I never knew it existed, which I was quite happy with.
I think that just...
So we've de-enriched your life. What's the opposite of enriched?
I think, like, because at the time, like, he was doing, like, Rocky and Rambo, which were both massive, massive franchises. Mm. So I just don't think that people really remember so much the other stuff that he was doing, like, in that era. Like this. I mean, there's, like, Cobra. But, like, you know, I think a lot of them just kind of get a little bit swept under the rug because there's a film he did with Dolly Parton called Rhinestone.
Is that Stopping My Mum Will Shoot?
I've seen that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, me too.
I think that was more of a 90s
one. Yeah, that was a bit later on.
Yeah,
Estelle Getty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's...
was it?
Yeah.
I mean...
It was at the time.
You know, I enjoyed Over the Top. I thought Stopping My Mum Will Shoot was fine.
I love the poster image for this because they make it look like it's going to be...
Exciting.
Like an action... I think that is the thing, like... I understand. I get the feeling that you did not love it. And a lot of this film is actually quite boring. But
Where's the seagull from? When does that?
It's a hawk.
It's the hawk that's on the front of his truck.
It's Lincoln Hawk.
Okay, like right,
the poster
the
makes it look like the most badass action film ever. It's not.
It's just a bit. It's a bit loony. It's a bit crazy. Why did he crash into that mansion, expecting to pick
his son
up?
Because he got pushed too far.
He went over the top.
Yeah, that is what you know. Stallone gets pushed too far until he cannot take it anymore.
It's a title that works on literally two levels.
Yeah.
No, you're not convinced.
I mean, you obviously all had a great time watching this. I mean...
I don't say a great time.
It was a time. Some time passed.
I think you just had... I just knew it was dumb. I knew it was dumb going into it.
I can't believe it was made. I mean... It's a film about arm wrestling. I mean, if you've never seen this, it is literally a film about arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling is the MacGuffin.
It's
not about arm wrestling. It's about him bonding with his strange son on the way to see...
Who's a spoiled brat anyway.
A spoiled, bratty, tuna salad-eating son on the way to see his dying mother, which, if it was that important, they would have taken Concorde.
They would have got a plane.
Oh, yeah, it makes no...
There's no sense whatsoever.
Sense.
What about the bit where he got his son to arm wrestle those kids in the diner just before he got kidnapped?
It's very...
So there's a lot of the lessons that Stallone tries to teach his kid, I think, are bad lessons. I think it's bad parenting.
Eating a lot of steak.
One of the main like character changes in the kid, obviously, as you said, Helen, the kid is like super duper annoying. And there's this scene that Kobe was talking about where he's like, he's ordering the salad and Stallone's like, ugh, you don't want to eat that shit. You got to eat some salad. And he doesn't say that.
Steak.
No, you got to eat some steak. Real men eat steak. And then like at the end, like the kid's like a proper man and he's like just eating junk food and he's having a great time. And we're supposed to be like, yeah, victory for the little guy. He stopped a child from eating his vegetables.
It is odd because it's kind of like his son is a spoilt brat, but you know, he seems quite an intelligent, well-educated guy. And like, I guess he's like trying to toughen him up a bit, but like he does that by basically forcing him to arm wrestle like a kid who's about like twice his size and like three or four
For money.
Years old. Yeah, for money. And like the that kid is like, yeah, I'll destroy your son. And he's just sat there like while his son is like having to arm wrestle this guy while all his mates are around. Like, yeah, he's going to break this little sissy boy. And it's just kind of like, I mean, he hasn't been a dad. He's really flying by the seat of his pants. He's like, I don't really know very much other than driving a truck and arm wrestling. So,
is that
and he teaches his son to drive the truck as well, yeah, which is why he's then able to. The son can steal a car later and on.
Essentially, has kidnapped him because the son doesn't really want to go in the first place. Is that it?
Yeah,
he doesn't want to go, but his mother has sent a letter saying. Yeah. Because the mum is like, you need to. I'm going to die. You need to get to know your father. He's a good man deep down. He has some crazy mixed up ideas, but give him a chance.
Is there a... Do they allude to a backstory that Stallone has used to have like a drug problem or something?
There's something... I think his granddad kind of says, oh, your dad's a loser. And then his son says to him, why did you leave mum? We'll talk about another time.
Yes,
talk
about there's never any resolution.
There's no kind of... You don't find out why. You don't find out what's happened.
Yeah.
I just get the impression that the granddad just didn't like him and just made everything so impossible for him to be around that he drove him away.
The actor playing the granddad was so familiar.
Oh, yeah.
He's super famous back in the 80s. I can't remember what his name is.
Is it Robert Loggia?
Robert Loggia, yeah.
Yeah, him. Yeah, so he's...
He's been in a lot of those kind of 80s films.
Very
as the,
famous, yeah.
The villainous kind of...
Evil granddads.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like an evil granddad, yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like I've seen him be like a gangster or something, you know?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. But
he's a massive lad though. Big fan.
Should we go to the rating? Is there anything else you want to talk about before just looking at some of the images here? There was one thing I wanted to say was that they had the ladies division in the arm.
Oh yeah. They only win half the prize money, which is pretty rough. Yeah. Like not cool. And I don't even know if they get a truck.
I was going to ask, yeah, did they get a truck? Or that's,
Get a mini and half the prize money.
See, I'm already objecting to this.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, I was... This and film. They just kind of go, there's also the women's division. And then you get one shot of a woman going, ha-ha, doing some arm wrestling, and then they are not seen again.
I mean, to be fair, there's one female character in the entire film. She spends the film in bed, says and two lines, dies. And then dies. Like...
Yeah.
That's what you get in this one, apparently.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dude fest. I don't even know why I picked it. I just think it's weird. It's not even like I really love the film. I kind of love how much of an oddity it is. It's like, yeah, I can't believe that it got made, and yet there it is.
The last 20 minutes is pretty exhilarating.
Oh, I love the end bit. The end bit is like, you know, when you start crashing through mansions and the kid steals a car and it's like, whoa,
even
this is a very different film.
Even just like the arm wrestling finale where you got Sammy Hagar like belting it out on the soundtrack and it's just dudes like inches from each other's noses just going
yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah,
I don't know
it's
why
like 20 minutes of that noise.
Yeah. It's just
exhilarating.
I mean, it's more exhilarating than the bits of them slowly driving across America, awkwardly trying to bond.
Yeah, weaning off salad.
I mean, I think for me, when I was watching it, I kind of wondered what I'd done to offend you in advance, or what wrongs I had done to have
without even meeting
this.
You've tangled with the wrong podcasters.
I thought. Why?
The thing is, like, I sat down and watched it and was like, kind of like, even having seen it before, I was kind of like, I forgot that it's kind of, that like nothing happens in it for ages and it's like the most mushy kind of, and then it's like, oh, and suddenly it's like, it goes from being like uber manly to like uber kind of like emotional and sentimental, especially like with the, you know, it's got that music that really tries to inform you of how you should be feeling. That's either like, Swelling Strings or Sammy Hagar. Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't even know why I decided to watch this again, but I've done it now.
You've got a big smile on your face.
I'm sorry. I just enjoy Sylvester Stallone. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't have to. Not everything has to.
For the people listening, Tom has got a huge smile on his face.
He has.
And that's a great thing. I sense the recommendability score is going to be quite high here.
Yeah, why not? Why the fuck not? I've already done it. I might as well recommend it some more. If you have been completely put off by what I just said, if you like Sylvester Stallone, then I'll give it a 4.5.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I mean that's me probably. I'm definitely overselling it. Yeah, fuck it, 5. I'm gonna completely screw the curve on this. 5. You might not like it, but it doesn't stop me from recommending it.
There will be someone somewhere who might enjoy it as much as you.
That's fighting talk. I liked it a lot. I don't know if it's got the broadest appeal. It's quite niche. If you like Sylvester Stallone, like Tom says, if you like arm wrestling, or if you hate yourself, then you should definitely watch the film. And I do feel that those niches kind of encompass quite a large portion of society. So I'm going to go 3.5. Sorry, Tom, I can't go higher.
That's all right. I mean, I think even I'm insane for saying 5. Even I don't believe it, but I'm doing it.
Well, I think I'm going to take Todd's scoring here on this. His base on... Sorry, I can't give it a point.
Oh, shit. It's a 0?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. I don't like arm wrestling. I'm not a massive fan of Sylvester Stallone. And I...
Well, there's 0... Hold on. There's 0 redeeming features, and there's 0 people you would say you should watch this film. You might get a kick out of it.
Yeah. I really, there was nothing about this.
I'm going to get my coat. The only
thing is hearing how enthusiastic you are about it has somehow made me into a 0 rather than a minus. I really don't know what to say. I can't give it any... There's nothing from kind of a cinematic value to... It's a film about arm wrestling.
Right?
Yeah.
No, right?
I mean, it's not even done kind of tongue-in-cheek because he's barely even there for the performance.
It takes itself very seriously.
Yeah, and there's...
Which is maybe why I don't take it very seriously.
But there's... No. I'm sorry, I can't be moved to give it anything.
Fair enough.
I'm really
sticking
sorry.
Sticking to your guns.
I mean, I kind of agree with you.
No regrets.
I'm all over the place with this one.
I'm a 3.5, I reckon. There's my friends from my age growing up. Sure, we all enjoyed it, and it's funny to watch it again. But it's not a good film. I'm not under no illusions, guys. This is a good film, but it's one of those non-good films that I think you should have a watch and just enjoy it. Mm. And you can do a lot of things whilst this is on. You don't need to pay attention in any
way. You don't even need to be in the room.
3.5.
Put it on your phone. Don't watch it. Just listen to it as a radio play.
Just hear.
Yeah. I wonder what that would be.
Repeat viewing
2. I'm gonna like it's.
You've seen this. This is the twice.
This is the second time I've watched it, and I don't think it was necessarily needed, but I did. I still enjoyed the bits that I enjoyed, and then I was aware of like the bits that lag and all the things that don't make sense. So it's not one that you're going to pop on again and again unless some people ask you to be on a podcast and they don't know what you're like, what you're liable to do.
Todd?
Yeah, I got to agree with Tom. This film's got number 2 written all over it. Big 2 from me for repeat viewing.
You're not even going to watch it. Don't even want to watch it once.
Can I unsee it? Is there any way? I'm sorry. I can't. It's a 0. There's absolutely no reason why God. I would. I mean, you're talking about number 2s. It is a complete number 2. It is.
Do you think this is one of the worst films you've... I can sense where this is going to go. Do you think this is one of the worst films you've seen ever?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I mean, because...
Wow.
I can't think... You know, I consider like The Pianist to be an awful film, the Roman Polanski film, and that angered me quite a lot when I watched that.
This is so much more fun than that, though.
It's not, though. It's painful. Because, you know, there's absolutely no curveballs. There's no hint of surprise. He is going to win. His kid is going to love him and become a mini-me. And it's, you know, there's nothing in Stallone's performance. There's nothing there. There's just absolutely nothing. There's no hint that he's even, okay, I've taken on this role purely, you know, for the paycheck and I'm going to have a little bit of fun with it, or, you know, it's not even phoned in. It's, you know, it's kind of been traced, kind of moving him around. And there's none of the characters have any redeeming qualities to make them memorable, or you don't even feel any kind of sadness when the mum dies, because she's
that
just
is
so,
actually quite true, actually.
You have no... Yeah.
I think also it's clearly signposted what is going to happen. You're kind of like, she's dead and they're going to get there late. And that's exactly what... I mean, the film is Stallone by numbers, but they couldn't make Rocky. And so they had arm wrestling as the substitute for boxing, which does not work as well as boxing.
It doesn't... I mean...
But...
There was a training montage.
There was a montage very early on. We got into montage.
Oh, there's a bonding where they're doing like push-ups.
Yeah, they're doing the push-ups on the kind of bull horns of the big rig.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Rocky montage. I mean...
He didn't punch any meat.
No,
raw eggs. The kid was eating tuna.
I mean, any Rocky film is probably worth watching over... If there's any Rocky films that you haven't seen, I'd probably say watch those over watching this, apart from maybe Rocky V, which is garbage.
Is that the one with Tommy Gunn?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely...
I don't dislike Stallone. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Demolition Man. I have seen that film many, many times, and I am fully aware that that film is completely ridiculous and is particularly insane, but it's brilliant. It's got two very insane performances and it definitely doesn't take itself seriously, whereas this does take itself seriously. Mm. And it's a film about arm wrestling. You cannot make a film about arm wrestling. It doesn't even go to say that, you know, there is a particular skill to winning other than you slightly move your hand or wear your baseball cap the other way around. If there had been some kind of, you know, actual incident that happened that was a real kind of like moment of discovery, or, you know, the child actually really sort of found himself or really did actually bond other than arm wrestling and a montage. There's just...
Because it's quite weird.
I'm not buying it. I'm really
The arm
not.
Wrestling scenes are... The guy he wins, who he beats in the end, is three times his size.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way.
I mean, with that, there's no kind of building up that guy as being the villain, or there's no kind of, you know, if there'd have been some kind of rivalry from the start, or if...
There
you
was
know,
in the truck stop at the start.
Well, it seemed like he has a rivalry with Stallone, but Stallone is just kind of like, just wants to be left alone and get on with his day. Well,
you know, had he already fought him in an arm wrestling match previously 5 years ago and lost, and the memories come back to him and he has to face that hurdle, then... You know, there's at least a little bit of a challenge, or there's something he has to get over in kind of, you know, the journey of personal discovery. But he essentially just walks up there and wins. There's no real element of he could lose because he's just going to win.
But he does lose once, and the very confusing, if you lose twice, then you've actually lost.
The double thing. Elimination.
That is where they create the jeopardy, and everyone's just kind of like, even on the film set, they were kind of like, do we fully understand how this works? This,
you know, had he lost...
Would have been like the first Rocky film.
You know, had he lost, but his son says, but I love you anyway, then I might... You know, this could have
been
a completely different...
Then would
you
have given it a one?
Maybe.
Recommend it to one person.
I might have had
if
a different...
Only he'd been a loser.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just... There's no obstacles.
He put money on himself. He won the prize fund.
He lost it.
He got the trophy.
It's kind of not even an underdog, because he was never really an underdog to begin with, because all he does is some people don't like him. And that's, he's not really fighting against anything other than people look at him and go, bleh. And, you know, even though his kid doesn't really bond with him, he's not like, you know, punching him in the face or like being aggressive towards him. He's just kind of a bit sulky and a bit annoying. So there's no real challenges or nothing. I couldn't even watch it and laughed at it. I mean, I watched it with my housemate, and she was a lot more into it than I was. I sort of kept apologizing, going, I'm really sorry that you've given up your afternoon to sit with me and watch this.
I feel so bad now.
Don't.
Tom. It's fine. Look, he really, Kobe really enjoyed it.
You're a bad person.
He had a great time. What I can only believe was you were reliving nostalgia when you were watching it.
I was slapping my thigh.
You were thinking back to the playground when you became Sly and you
there
won
was a time in the
by
80s.
Turning your hat the other way.
There was a time in the 80s when we just used to arm wrestle each other.
Because of this film? Or
it,
in general?
It would have been because of this film.
Anyway, digress.
So we digressed.
Repeat right, viewing.
It's an interesting digression. I give it a 2. I will watch again at some point. Don't know when, don't know where, don't know why, but at some point.
It's not high on the list.
It's not.
But it could happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Small screen score.
3. I mean, it looks like it was made for television, so it's fine watching it. You know, like, there's nothing big and bombastic about it other than lots of guys shouting at each other. So it works fine.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect small screen movie. This is what me and my wife would deem to be a napper, which is what we call a film you put on specifically when you want to fall asleep in front of something.
Yeah.
Which generally tends to be like, yeah, off like a tablet or like a TV in the corner of the room. It's so non-cinematic. I can't even comprehend of like going and sitting in a proper cinema and looking at it on a big screen. There's too much nothing. That would be too much nothing all over my face. So I'm going to give it a 5 for small screen score. This movie was made for this kind of viewing. It's a napper.
Would these scores have been lower had you seen this in the cinema, do you think?
Yeah, I would have had a very uncomfortable time, I think, watching this in the cinema. I enjoyed the film very much, but I watched it with one eye on the movie, one eye on my phone, yeah, and one eye on my work. I have 3 eyes, by the way. it's what it's for.
Helen?
Well, God forbid anyone who went to the cinema and paid money to see this. I mean, was it even released? I mean, it feels very much
it was.
A, you know, direct to VHS kind of film.
I think it was a cinematic release.
I don't think it's that bad, direct to TV kind of malarkey, but...
I mean, a 3, it is, you know, it is made for, you know, TV watching.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a 4 because I think, no, I'm going to give it a 3 because it is made, I wouldn't imagine seeing this on the big screen, it'd be pointless. But there are films and there's TV shows that look awesome on a TV screen and this wasn't it. So I think it's kind of a middling kind of score for that reason. Game of Thrones looks awesome on the TV. Do you know what I mean?
That's, Game of Thrones would look awesome in the cinema.
It would do.
So that's a big screen and small screen. Surely this deserves better because it's going to look better on the smallest screen possible. If you get a thumbnail size screen, that is preferable.
I'd like to watch like the last like the arm wrestling competition at the cinema. I'd like to go for like a 15-minute screening and just watch all those close-ups of big hairy men's faces in slow motion screaming at each other for 15 minutes. And like try and drink like about 4 beers in that time.
And then some just, petrol.
Yeah,
I think you can do petrol, it, buddy.
And then I'd be like, yeah, cool. But other than that, it doesn't need to be big.
Engagement score, I guess this is going to be quite low. I'm predicting. Tom, sorry.
I would again say 3. Like just because... the bits that engage me, I'm kind of like, yep, this is fun. And then there's a lot of bits that I just kind of, you know, I'll look up some stuff on my phone. So it kind of, I kind of yo-yo back and forth a bit with it.
I agree with you, Tom. I will say that once you've started that ball rolling and hit play on the movie, I absolutely had to see how it ended. I didn't necessarily care about what was happening along the way, but I get very invested in things and I'm like, no, this was not for nothing. I'm going to get something out of this. And if nothing else, I'm going to be able to say that I watched this whole bloody film, which for me translates to a 3.
if I'd have turned it off halfway through, I would have felt even worse than if I'd sat it out.
Helen?
It's getting a 2. I feel this is probably slightly more generous, but only because we're reviewing one coming up, which is going to score lower. So I feel it would be harsh for me to compare. So I'm giving it a 2 because I did watch it till the end with no interest whatsoever, but I did stick with it and I was present in the room and it continued.
And that's something, damn it.
Time passed.
I'm going to give it 2.5. I think when I watch it again, it'll either be in the background to a party or I'm doing some ironing or the hoovering or something like that. And I'll kind of pause it. I'll pause the hoovering when the 3 bits of arm wrestling happen.
Yeah.
And the silly bits.
But you just fast forward to those bits.
I don't know. I think I need to kind of at least have the ambience of the film happening in the background and then...
Little whining and dining before you get straight into the heavy stuff.
Yeah, do you think like the arm wrestling wouldn't have the impact it had if you didn't have like just like fucking so much just driving around and, you know, dodgy sort of like semi-phoned in father and son bonding.
Why did he make his son drive the truck? I can't remember what happened there.
Because he wanted him to be a man, damn it.
And also they had to fill out like 90 minutes runtime. And he knows 2 things, which is arm wrestling and driving a truck. And eating steak, and he'd already done those 2.
there should have been a steak eating competition in there. I think maybe they missed a trick,
like in Great Outdoors.
I mean
John Candy. Yeah,
yes.
That's a great movie.
So,
and then that could have been the son's chance to shine. He could have like entered into the competition, and like surprised dad by eating the steak because he turns his back on him, and he's such a weedy, pathetic child, and he goes, I'm going to show him and I'm going to win this steak competition. And he eats it and he takes the prize and then get into the truck, and then they have to stop because he throws up.
Yeah.
I think that would have added that little bit of humor, and then they maybe could have like bonded with something where the son's trying to like show his dad that he can be a man, and he goes in to do this, but then also realizes that it's beyond his limitations.
They're saving that for over the top 2 over to the top, which crosses over with the Great Outdoors, where like the son has a steak eating competition with a CGI John Candy, because they're building like the cinematic universe for them, like this like for some reason there's like the shared over the top the Great Outdoors cinematic universe.
It's the new Avengers.
Yeah.
All right. Well. On that, guys, I think, who are you to remind everyone, and where are you from?
I'm Tom from the Bitter End Podcast.
And I'm Todd from the Bitter End Podcast. We are a podcast about reviewing bad sequels, and you can find us on iTunes.
And we're also on Facebook and Twitter @ Bitter End Pod.
Superb.
Brilliant.
How did that score, by the way?
Sorry, yeah.
I don't think we did the final score.
Sorry, the final score is 2.7.
I have bad taste.
But, you know, that's, you know, overall, you got... Its overall recommendability was a 3-star, so you know it kind of balances out as a 3-star film, really. So you're not that far off from a 3-star.
I think 2.7 isn't that
actually
bad.
That is entirely fair.
Yeah,
that is 100% where this film should be.
I mean, me and Tom have watched some serious like crud from the bottom of IMDb's shoes and had like a really good time before. So
we've also had a very, very bad time. Howling 7, people. That's all I'm saying.
We don't talk about the Howling 7 anymore.
It doesn't
Tom.
Exist.
Wiped it from your memory.
It does not exist. That it goes from 6 to 8. Very odd numbering for those film series, but it does not exist.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, cheers, guys.
Cheers for coming along.
Bye.
Thanks to our awesome guests, Todd and Tom. You can find them at The Bitter End, where they literally review films to the bitter end of the franchise. As always, big up, massive thanks, all the love to GL Productions and their awesome editing skills. Love and kisses to the mighty people for their tunes that you're hearing now. Don't forget to review us, subscribe to us on iTunes, and come say hi at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter. All listings and information about our guests can be found on the website FlixWatcherTV. See you soon.